feel hurt down in your soul, there'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, when it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we welcome you here this October 28th, 2023. We've got a full crew on there. Guys, are you on this morning? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Good. So, full crew, Tim, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you down there in snowy Colorado.
Good morning.
And out in Michigan, Zach, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
A pretty good echo going on there, Richard.
Okay.
Everything that we say comes back to us.
All right. I got an adjustment. It's on that stack that goes back to it, so trying to keep that a little bit lower. But, Paul, good morning to you as well.
Good morning.
And, Jason, do you want to open this up in prayer, sir?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us. We praise you for you are God, and we just ask, Father, that you continue to guide and direct your people and turn their hearts and their minds back to you. We pray, Father, for deliverance from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of all the forces that are coming against us. And we ask, Father, that you deal with those that are warring against us on so many different fronts. We pray that you give us the wisdom that we need, the knowledge that we need, and the understanding that we need. And we ask that you pour it out upon your people, Father, that we can battle the wars that are before us victoriously. We know that there are physical wars taking place. We know that there are spiritual wars taking place. And we ask that you just help us and assist us to be proficient in both. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen. And again, Remnant phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And lots going on, like Jason said in his prayer, wars and rumors of wars. Different things going on in politics here. I noticed, you know, especially the big plans for the electric vehicle plants. Ford has postponed another $12 billion on pushing the electric vehicles, and GM as well. They were looking at a big partnership with Honda, and they've backed off on that. I think it's a $40 billion deal with Honda that they've backed off on. And as time goes on, these miracle cures that the Babylon puts out, they're found out, and they're seen as not the saving grace that they were first put out as. Anyway, I know we all see it. It's just when it kind of makes the news and everybody else sees it, I think it's very telling.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you read these headlines and you know, talking about, you know, the wars. It's John Kerry just recently. He said we must sacrifice billions of humans to save planet Earth. And you know, he's on that kick. And I mean, it's what kind of you know, I mean, and people can't see. It's like these enemies are becoming and there is the physical war. You know, it's people have been talking about this this Palestine Hamas war that's been taking place, and bombs going both directions. They came out basically. I mean, Israel's finally getting some heat on some of that stuff for bombing the hospitals and stuff like that. People are actually talking about who these Jews are. There's a lot of people that are coming out, and I've been hearing it over and over, and like we were talking about, even, you know, National Jewish Radio, or I mean National Public Radio, they've had stuff out there on NPR supporting Palestine and in support of it, which is, I mean, I've never heard anything on Jewish radio that has talked about that, and it's getting coverage now. So I don't know. It's interesting. I think that there's a lot of people that are waking up in the midst of this.
Well, they're being attacked on so many sides, they kind of don't have any choice. I mean, we talk about wars and rumors, of course. I mean, there's stuff going on practically every front that is, you know, very debilitating to the average person, whether it's food, whether it's transportation, whether it's religion, whether it's political. I mean, it's just all over the place. And it seems to me that it's coming from, you know, that it's getting directional. You can finally kind of see some direction of where it's coming from. So that helps wake people up, too. It's not some just ethereal, well, where did this come from? You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of that going on.
Well, I'll tell you what, it puts a lot of people in a very vulnerable state because, you know, we know who we are, we know what's going on, but I'm telling you, most people have no idea what's going on, and they're really vulnerable to a false god. Somebody's coming along and, you know, set this all straight. They're vulnerable. I mean, you got to know the words to have some ground in this whole thing because it's really chaotic, as we're all talking about, you know. And I think it's already started. I don't think you can stop it. Because a while back, I read where Putin wanted to negotiate a peace settlement there when this all started. Well, they rejected that, and they just going on. And now I see where America shot down something in Syria, and now they've joined in. So, you know, Putin said a while back, he says, I'm just afraid of a third party jumping in, which would be the United States, because our churches have just supported those people forever. And I don't know, I think you're really vulnerable if you don't know what's going on, but, you know, because it's chaotic, and then people love stability and comfort zones, and that's just being taken away at the moment, and it's going to be who you choose. And I think a lot of people are probably going to sometime not too far down the road, somebody's going to come along and offer a settlement that ain't the right person.
Well, and one of the things that we've been pushing and want to make sure that we get to offer out too is Roots DVD. Fantastic interview with Ray Kapp that Pastor Peters did years and years ago, and basically goes through the Abrahamic Covenant and shows who the true Israel people are. And we've made that available. We've offered it several times throughout the years for free of charge, and right now is one of those times. So if you'd like that, and if you haven't seen it, but don't order it if you ain't going to watch it or pass it on, because it does cost us money to get it shipped out. So, but if you'd like one, I'd like to send you one, and also the God Save America Again DVD. It is a good one. It's got part of that Roots from Abraham to America on there, and goes through and talks about some of the forbidden history that that has been pretty much hidden or forbidden in this country for a long time. So, you know, if you'd like those, order it. Write to Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can email me, jason@sfaw.org, and just make sure you include your address, and we'll get it shipped out to you. But fantastic tool, and right now is one of those times where I know for me, I've been able to talk to people about the Abrahamic Covenant and who the people are and where the land is recently, and that's been encouraging. And it's because, you know, they're they're trying to figure things out, and they're figuring out. Oh, I mean, even people that are in the churches are figuring out that, hey, maybe I've been lied to. You know, something just doesn't seem right here. And you give them some scriptures to look at, and you talk to them about, hey, this is the nation that was born in a day. And I mean, it wakes people up. And you know, once you unlock those keys, it puts the Bible in a completely different perspective because you know who the book is written to.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't use a map of Europe to travel across America. can't use a book that's not about you to navigate your life. I mean, God wrote that book to us, you know. So it's the right, you know. So there you go.
But I see what we have. Oh, go ahead, Paul.
You go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I was just going to switch gears. I seen a headline that says Italy has become the first country to issue a total ban on Bill Gates synthetic meat products after numerous studies found the lab-grown fake meat products cause turbo cancers in humans. Meanwhile, in the U.S., the Biden administration has fast-tracked the controversial products for approval. And just, I mean, completely opposite. It's like, you know, and I think that could be just basically, it's what we were just talking about with John Kerry wanting to reduce billions of humans. You know, they constantly are doing that. And, you know, people don't take seriously the fact that they steal, they kill, and they destroy. And that's what they do. That's what the enemies of Christ do. And a lot of it, I believe, that they've done through food and food modification.
Well, I think when you... There's an echo in my phone there a second. I think like with everything that you're talking about there, Jason, like there is a great opportunity for people like, you know, you're sitting there talking about what Bill Gates with his modified food or whatever it is. I don't really know anything about it, but I do know that there is a movement that's going across this land. I talk to people all the time that are getting... They are embracing the idea of being more self-sufficient. They want to raise their own chickens. They want to raise their own eggs. They want to do their own garden. They want their own beef. They want to know where all that stuff came from. And, you know, and they're going to the smaller companies, like, you know, the smaller meat processing outfits. And, you know, they're buying a quarter cow and they're telling the butcher how they want all this stuff done. And the reason why I bring all that up is because, you know, you are... I was talking with this lady the other day and she was talking about starting a self-sufficient community. And I was like, well, you know, the infrastructure is already there. What you got to do is you got to change the mindset of the people. And we see that happening. And like, because just the fact that this broad was talking about it, because I've known her for quite a while, it actually took me back. But, you know, it goes back to people are not only they're loving themselves, they are doing business with their neighbors. So they're loving their neighbors as themselves because there's a level of trust there that is just, it's there. And like those people, they get bonded when they sit there and they do business with each other, and the bad ones will self weed themselves out. But, you know, this is a great opportunity for anybody that's out there. You like learn. If you want to start a business, I've always thought, like, get into meat cutting, get into chicken producing is what I mean by that, by, like, you know, processing and stuff like that. You would have so much work. You wouldn't even know what to do it because the people out there are starving for that. And when you see all this stuff happening, it's like people are saying no to the big business, the Bill Gates, people are getting fed up with it. And they do, there's this thing in them, especially if they're Israelites, they're supposed to be self-reliant. They're supposed to be self-governing. You know, we have the law of God written on our hearts. They're supposed to be, you know, looking out for their neighbors. And, you know, the whole idea of a 401k is kind of going out the window. you know, I'm just going to sit there and work and save up, and, you know, I'll live on the interest from that account. And that crap is going out the window, you know. They're going to, like, people recognize there needs to be change for themselves and for their children. And this is very exciting. This is no reason to be scared or anything. Like, this is exactly what needs to happen. And, you know, you sit there and you ask yourself, what can I do? You know, well, you can talk and, you know, you can just start taking those steps and starting stuff like that, you know, whatever the, however it may be, but, you know, or doing business with the right guy. But, you know, it's going to happen. When you do that, you take power. You talk about steal, killing, and destroying just by the fact you're doing business with them. You're letting them steal. You are letting them steal because you don't know who makes the profit. And, you know, if you do know, then do the business with that guy. That's my take on that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's one of those things, though, that those, you know, people, and I've heard that, and I've seen it over the years, and people wanting to start these communities and stuff, they never work. Those things always fall apart. But like you said, Zach, learning a skill, learning a trade, doing something that can be beneficial to your neighbor. I was talking with our meat cutter down here. He lives just a couple miles from me, and he's like, you know, he said right now, he's like, the hardest part is finding people that want to work. I mean, he's like, most of the people that he's hiring are over the age of 50. He's got his wife working for him, he's got his daughter working for him, and then he's got a couple people that are over the age of 50, and he's like, these kids, he's like, I told them that I'd teach them a trade, and he's like, they really just don't want to work. He's like, they have no idea how much money they could make just doing game meat during a hunting season. He's like, everybody's got to get their stuff in and get it done. And he's like, just, you know, the amount of stuff, he's like, you know, he's like, I'm turning work away because I can't keep up with that. And I want my regular customers to be happy.
Yeah. And, you know, like, you sit there and you, like, you hear that statement all the time. Like, these young kids, they don't want to work. They don't want to work. And that's a lack of parenting. You know, I promise you, my kids do not have that mentality. You know, my one son, he's out there. I mean, he's a complete baller when it comes to, like, marketplace and wood chips. I mean, that kid's got stuff going on. I mean, he's making more money peddling wood chips than he is working for me. And the reason why it's exciting, because he's understanding his potential in life. You know, I mean, I charge them stuff like that to use the gear and this and that. But, I mean, he's doing well. And, you know, you have to train the generation behind you, the ones that are responsible, that I'm responsible for, on how to do this. When I was growing up, I got trained how to drag brush. Well, you know, I mean, whoop-de-doo. I had no idea how to cash flow, any of that stuff. I had to learn all that stuff on my own. I had to have, you know, my brothers and I, we had to learn that stuff on our own. I mean, nobody taught us that. But, you know, we, as, you know, the guys that are parenting now, we need to teach them how to do that stuff. And we don't know how to do it ourselves. We better figure it out, you know, because there is so much opportunity to be out there right now. I mean, it's just, it's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. And, you know, once you figure out some few little rules, man, it's game on. You can be a savage. And, you know, train them young ones. Like, let them understand their potential. And, you know, you don't need to encourage them then. You don't need to teach them to, you know, go out and work, you know, because, like, it's coming to them. You know, it's awesome. Like, I'll tell you, when I sit there and I drive a load of wood chip up to a customer, they always walk up to me. I always point to him. I always point at my son. That's the guy you're dealing with. And I make him, and he does all the deals, all that stuff. And they're stunned, but they're happy to see it. So it's training.
When I hear people complain about kids today, you know, my first statement out of my mouth, yeah, I said, yeah, look who raised them, you know. And that's the truth of the matter. What Zach's all talking about here, you got to be taught that. You know, there's it's in you, but kids have no heart today. It's been taken out of them. The whole damn school system just takes the heart on them, just like Zach said last week. Yeah, you got to get a high school education. Well, look at her uncles. Yeah, well, they're doing just fine because they didn't buy into that. This system has nothing to offer us. It has absolutely nothing. 401k, paper money, you name it, has nothing to offer us. But the children of Israel will return to their God at some point in time, and that is going on at this moment. People are returning. You can talk to people better than you ever. A guy was telling me the other day, a month or so ago, I was talking to him up north, and he was talking about when this all started with Hamas and Israel. He said, well, yeah, I found him in the Bible where they're doing a, going to Israel. I said, no, well, you got all the players wrong. I said, it's here. And he clicked just like that. He said, yeah, they're coming across the Mexican border. He made that real easily, right, by his own, but he had been thinking about it. And once you tell them, I think they can grasp it. You know, the law is written in our hearts. It's just a matter of making that decision to get away from this idolatry government. They have a, you know, remedy for everything in life insurance, crop insurance, you name it. You know, we don't really have to produce it. If we screw up, they'll take care of us. A lot of people my age just wanted to get to retirement because they seen it coming back in. Well, if we can just get to retirement, you know. And then the people say, well, it's going to affect my kids, you know. Well, I'm out of here, you know. But that's all. Look who raised them. Their mentality's not right. But, you know, if you can get a, well, that Catholic Church, so I said if they could get them by five, they had them for life, you know, and that's true. You train up a child the way you should go. You teach them different, right from the, right coming out of the grid, and they will not, you know, they'll be tempted, but they'll come back to the truth. But they're not getting the truth, and they've taken the heart out of them. And I, from what I understand, this has happened over time. You know, Rome fell, Greece fell, they all fell. Nobody's working in because they're taking the heart out of them. You know, it's always about maintaining the federal government. You know, make sure you pay your taxes so that I get my Social Security and all that stuff. And, but you look who raised them. That's the problem. But there's always going to be a remnant saved. We have to take care of each other, and I think people are ready for it. People want organic food. They don't really have to ask them for it. When I went to a guy, first thing I did, he did a spit and urine test. But what he taught is a biblical diet and everything else. He taught the whole lifestyle system. I mean, we always want a silver bullet, take a pill and get rid of this, you know, get rid of our high blood pressure and stuff like that. But it's a lifestyle. It's God's way. And this is the fallacy of regenerative agriculture. They won't come right out and say it, but, you know, we need to get back to on hybrid seed and give that land a rest. You know, we got to rest on 7 days. The land that we need to rest, it's all one thing. God didn't want to work us to death. When they had the biblical economies, that you had to work 26 weeks a year to make a living. You know, and if you go in the book of Jasher, they had three week long, you know, holidays, you know, where they all want the whole family. This 1 week, 2 week, and 5 week vacation isn't God's way. He wants us to have our own mind to sit under. So, it's coming. You know, it's coming. Because you look at the system, you know, I see apple growers and stuff, and they just all in the system, and they're so overproduced here, they don't even know where to grow their apples. And the dairy farms, too, they built this big milk plant right down the road from us, and I always said it was milk till it went in there. And they destroy it. I told a guy that, and he said, yeah, just like soybeans. They get you raised in soybeans. They take the oil out and sell the soybean meal back to you to feed your cows, you know. So, I mean, they got a really good racket, but it's coming apart. And it's a really good thing, and it's an exciting time. But I think we're in the Battle of Armageddon has already started. You know, when America goes and over there and bombs it, something going into Syria and stuff like that, we stuck our nose where it don't belong.
Yeah, and like we said, more and more people are recognizing that, are seeing that. I'm meeting more people that are homeschooling, more people that are looking for, like you said, Jason, half a beef, quarter beef, eighth of a beef, people raising chickens, that type of thing, and it's encouraging. It is. More and more people are doing those things, and it's a move in the right direction. It really is.
Well, at the end of the day, it's all about sustainability. I mean, that's what we see there. It's where, and that's what we're talking about. It's you know, and this system that is in place is grab and go. I mean, how much money can you make today and get away with and, you know, take whatever you can and give nothing back? I mean, it's like that's all they're interested in. It's me, now, and then nothing. Then, you know, you got silence, and they create the problem, and then they create the solution because that makes them money, and it fleeces the sheep. I mean, we see that going on all around us, and it's becoming more and more apparent all the time. I really kind of jump back over there, and it's not that we got to dwell on it, but this whole Hamas and Israel thing, it wasn't too long ago those people were carrying on over there in the Palestine region. Well, we don't have food, we don't have basic necessities, we don't have this, we don't have that. Now all of a sudden they've got tanks and missiles and bombs and everything else, and I'm not saying good or bad, I'm saying thesis and antithesis. We've got these two fighting everybody because somebody wants to make a bunch of money off of the project, you know, and that's what we see. That's just a microcosm or a macrocosm of what's going on all the way across the world right now, you know.
Well, look at the Devil City has to offer absolutely nothing, you know, and this is why I go back to, you know, the three things that are capital punishment and kidnapping is one. See, that sovereignty of that life is so important. Rape, murder, and all, that sovereignty of life is what that's all about. And once you violate it, then you cross the line. And that when your individual rights aren't safe, nothing's safe. But we all, you know, they come in here with the state police and the federal government, stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is the highest authority in a county is the sheriff. You know, he's a sheriff. Let's see, the police carry out the policy of the corporation. The sheriff is supposed to carry out the law, but he's been perverted into where he don't understand that. But that sovereignty of your individual life, when that's not safe, nothing's safe. And it's just corporate destruction from there on down. You know, if you run a corporation and you're in charge of all the people, that people are just a commodity to keep that corporation floating. And, you know, when you retire, that thing will just go on just without you. They don't need you. You know, that's why it's so bad to see these individual family businesses get sold out just left and right. There's a big orchard down south of Detroit. I mean, it's a really nice orchard, family operation. And they just sold out to the Canadian Teachers Union, you know. So you can imagine that thing's on self-destruct, but that family just run a beautiful orchard. But it just makes me sick to see a family sell out like that. But see, they have no spiritual grounding. See, you're not supposed to sell your land. That's your own land, and people it's been lost. They got people lined up here in housing developments and little, basically, cells. If you look at the big picture, they're just little cells. They got their garden. It's kind of cute and everything like that. But the farmland has been destroyed and raped.
You are right.
I think it's good that we know, like, what Paul was saying about the land, and, like, you know, we've been talking about Israel and Hamas or the state of Israel. I mean, we all know who they are, you know, and it's good to know all that stuff. Me personally, I don't really dwell on it a whole lot. But I always ask myself, well, what can I do? There's got to be something that I can personally do. And one of the things, like, I thought, well, this is what I'm going to do. And I'll just tell you a quick story. So, earlier this week, my daughter, my kids do actually go to my two older ones go to the public school. And I'm a firm believer in, like, you can't shelter your kids from what's out there. They're going to find out about it sooner or later. So you might as well let them find out about all the evil that's out there under your control so you can advise them on how to react to what they see. And, you know, and you can tell them what's the positive effects and the negative effects. And I mean, it's all there. So anyways, my daughter was telling me they have a class. It's a podcast class. And they sit there and they listen to these little podcasts. And she was telling me some of the titles of some of these podcasts. And I was like, check, you know. So I said to her, I'm like, you know, you give your principal my phone number. I want to talk to him. And, you know, my wife, and he was all like, well, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to go in there and lock horns with them? And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm like, it's there. You cannot deny that, you know, the Queer Kid is a podcast, and they're playing that at a public school. And it's all left-sided point of view that they're promoting. So I'm going to actually, I got a couple of podcasts that I would like to suggest. And I was telling one of my buddies about it. Our kids go to school together on the football team. And I was telling him what my plan was. And he thought it was awesome. I'm like, well, there's a couple of podcasts that I listen to that I think is really good. It gives you more of a right idea. It's not anti-male. It's not, it's, you know, pro-marriage, pro-couple, you know, together, engaging, raising children. You know, heck, maybe we might even do a very, you know, very, a lesson that's given out on the sermon. You know, if, I mean, you have to be really careful how you word stuff in a situation like that. And, like, well, expose the kids to both sides so that way they can make a choice. And that's going to be my argument. And I'm going to do it, and I'm going to argue it, and I'll let you guys know and see what they say. But, you know, I mean, there are things that we can do. And how much time is this actually going to take me? 20 minutes? Maybe. Maybe. But if I don't do it, then I'm never going to know what the result is. Because we all see when one lefty tranny gets all pissed and just blows everything up because there's a prayer in school, how everybody reacts. Has anybody pushed back? Not really, I don't think. At least I don't hear about it. But we all need to ask ourselves, what can we do? There's little things that we can do. We can't just, you know, just roll over and just let them do it, you know? I mean, there's repentance that needs to be taking place. That's what moves the hand of God. Let's get after it. That's my thought.
Well, where you start is with yourself. You get you squared away, and it does radiate through the system, because what you're talking about, your kids were grounded to some degree, but these kids that in that school have zero grounding. I mean, absolutely zero grounding. There's nothing in those homes and stuff like that. So it's almost like reading Greek to them. And it will. They'll grasp the truth. And it's good that we do it. And, to go back to my youth group in the church and stuff like that, what I found out, the men had their head right square up where it shouldn't be, and the women got the job by default. But look at all the women in high places and authority and preaching and stuff like that. That's just strictly unscriptural. And then, you know, you adopt a black person and stuff like that. You know, there's two ways to destroy a nation, interracial marriage and adoption. That just sends the poison into the system. But people don't even know that. I talked to some people who went to Africa, and they have these black, those are white people, but they have these black people there. But they never ate with the white people. See, now when the South was that way, that's a division. That's biblical. They're there, and you know, you treat the neighbor's dog with respect. That, yeah, you look down on them. They have to be provided for too. But we're told to be separate, and we've been inundated, infiltrated, and stuff like that. And the homes are not good at all. I mean, you know, like Zach's talking, they have no grounding. And I do believe they'll grasp it. And I think what you're doing is wonderful. It is really wonderful, because you know we. I am one, but I'm only one, you know, but don't be afraid. You know, they taught me a song in Sunday school, Dare to Be a Daniel, Dare to Stand Alone, and I really grasped that a long time ago. I knew I was going to be hated, you know, through Pastor Peter's expense. I expect to be hated, because they hate the truth. Anytime you're sinning, you don't like being corrected. Especially if you enjoy your sin.
If you're making money off of it, absolutely. And there's a plenty of doing that, right?
Yeah. But even beyond beyond money, it's spiritual, too. See, the people are drunk on the blood of the saints, and that ain't about money. You know, it's beyond money. They just hate. They just love destroying and killing and stuff like that, bombing hospitals. You know, that's, you know, go back in the German war, there was things they just didn't touch in that war. The German, if you read their manual, that whole thing on Germany was nothing like it was. I mean, that was a banking war. They were fighting the Rothschilds and stuff like that, and they had to be put down, and they just were flat, just run them right into the ground. And there wasn't even 50,000 Jews in Germany at that time, and it's all perverted. Everything's perverted, but it's always about money. Love of money is the root of all evil. That's an absolute fact. But when you give up your children for money, you're a sick puppy.
Yeah. Proverbs 4:16, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. That's what we're talking about right here. For sure.
No, it's pretty exciting times. I mean, you know, Babylon's falling fast. You just got to make sure you're grounded. You know, in the Matthew 2, it talks about when Jesus returns, you go here, go there. No, just sit still. Everybody will know when he's coming, because the sky will light up, I'm sure. So, you know, we always want a silver bullet or a safety zone, but, you know, I was reading that in Isaiah the other day, and he says, your strength is in your silence. You know, that's just kind of, I don't know exactly where it is, but I think it was around with Hezekiah. But because they turned to Babylon, was mocking them and stuff like that, but it was around there where I read that. And but he said, your strength is in your silence. And Amos says, it is an evil time. The brilliant man, not that, but anyway, he will keep silent, you know, and so you don't argue with a fool when it amounts to, but it's time to be a light on, you know, and I totally agree with Zach to going in there. I don't know what the results will be, but you got to do it even if it don't work. But it will work. I'm sure it'll work in time, because this thing is falling apart and people are grasping for it. You can hold on to that Titanic and go down water. You can jump on the lifeboat.
Amen.
Yeah, it might. People might think, well, you know, that's a waste of my time or his time or whatever, but you know, you just simply don't know unless you try. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that I know because I tried, and you know, there's a lot of things I don't know because I didn't try. So, I mean, you just don't know unless you try. And I think the church has got a lot of they have a lot of not trying, so therefore there's no result. You know, you got to keep marching, and in whatever way you can or can think of, or, you know, whatever's, I mean, if you're working inside the box that God put us in, I mean, you know, you got free rein to go in there and tear up whatever you want to tear up, and want to build up whatever you want to build up, you know? I mean, faith overcomes the world. I mean, well, let's start using it. Let's start overcoming. So, you know, I'm going to have a chit-chat with the guy, and, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, I mean, you never know. He might irritate the daylights out of me or something crazy he says. I might bring it to the school board. Who knows? We don't know. I mean, that's the best way to get me motivated, is piss me off.
I read something in one of Colonel Moore's books a while back, and he said one of the problems we have, so we want to teach that identity message to everybody, but, you know, you got to deal with personal salvation, and that makes all the sense in the world. You get, you know, we want to take them, you know, we're all really excited about who we are and stuff like that. But when you're dealing with somebody that has no idea who you are, he says you got to deal with them. You know, it's sin, it's salvation from Jesus Christ. But, you know, and that made all the sense in the world that we try to go too far with that identity message, and that we should just deal with a man's personal life, if you know what I mean. I don't know if I said it properly, but.
I know what you mean. Go ahead. It's one of those things, and there's a lot of people that are, you know, it's like, well, the identity message isn't a salvational issue, I understand that as well, and you know, it's, you're going to have different people. You're going to have people that are going to come out and that are going to want to be saved and become Christians, because finally it's going to make sense that they're going to realize who they are, and that's what the prophets did, early on throughout the Bible is they told the people who they were. They told them their history. And when we do that, that's gonna a lot of people right now they have this attitude or this belief that okay, yeah, the Bible's written to the Jews and those are the people over there. They're the ones that are supposed to be following the Bible. That's what they truly believe. And when it changes and they realize that, hey, no, this is written to us and we're supposed to be following this stuff, then it's like, okay, yeah, then they'll want to become a Christian. But at the same time, there's other people that want to become a Christian, and that'll lead them into, it goes vice versa.
Well, just like that crap coming out of Oklahoma City, they want you filled with the Spirit without getting dunked, you know. And Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. Now, he had no reason to come to this earth to do what he did, but he humbled himself because of us. And I see, if that don't bring tears to your eyes when you understand that, there's something wrong with you. And people want to get filled with the Spirit without all the mechanics of it. I mean, that Oklahoma City thing, I can't believe anybody got fucked into that crap.
Well, in Romans 12:5 says we're all one body and individually parts of one another, but we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to use them properly. And I think a lot of times that, and some of us, myself included, occasionally think, well, why would you waste your time with this or with that? Because that was their gift and that's their calling. And it does matter in the kingdom, and that's that part of the job. So, you need to support and you need to pray for and you need to, every single thing is important. God said, well, does this part of the body say to that part of the body, I don't have any need of you, depart from me, there's a whole picture there of people doing many things. And sometimes we don't really understand it, but if it's of God and God has called that person to do that, it's going to bear fruit in one form or another. And it's going to be a blessing to his kingdom and to his people, I try to, sometimes when people are talking about different things, and I kind of don't understand, or but I'm not God. He's called that person to do that. It's an important job, or he wouldn't have called, so that's kind of the way I look at it.
Well, I think one of the important things is to meet the person where they're at. If they're asking questions, then you got something to deal with. But you aren't going to ram any message down their throat if they're not looking. It does absolutely no good. And a question will work a lot better than a preach. And, what about this, And then you put the burden of proof back on them, because you cannot shove it down their throat as much as we'd like to. It don't work. You got to meet a person where they're at. If they're asking questions, that's key. If they start asking questions, then you got something, but don't overfeed them.
Amen.
See, you don't know how many years I have been to getting to where I'm at. You think, it was a long, long road, and you got to realize that people can't take it that fast. There are times, and I think when the Spirit of God moves, they're going to take it real fast. But the journey I've been on is probably like 40 years at least. And we think that we want to bring it up to where I'm at the moment. Well, that ain't it. You got to be humble yourself and be where they're at. That's the key. And Jesus was that way. He was very tender with people that were looking at stuff like that, but he kind of had no use for religious people. The Sadducees and the Pharisees and stuff like that. But and as we got to learn from that, we got to be tender when they're asking, because we got to meet a person with that. And I think that's key. That hit me a long time ago. But don't overfeed them. But when I'm talking to a person, I've had conversations. All of a sudden, they change the subject. That's your key to shut up. They were going into mental overload. So. I went by it many times, so that's how I learned.
Well, it is encouraging that it's not going to be the masses, but we do see change. We see one here, two there, you know, like you said, Paul, asking questions, wanting to know what's going on, and we're seeing that all over the country. We're hearing from the remnant, and it's not just out here. It's not just in Michigan. It's not just in Florida, but it truly is all over, and that is a good thing.
Well, and it's pretty much a biblical precept or mandate, if you've read your Bible, to understand that Israel goes through these, or God's nation of Israel goes through these situations where, you know, there's bountiful magnificence and plenty, you know, plenty everywhere, and it's like they've got this, it's like God just blessed them with this golden thing, and then there's this falling away, and I mean, this cycle repeats. If you read the Bible from one end to the other, you can't help but notice how often it happens. I mean, there's years in between each segment, but, you know, he says, well, there's this last time it's going to happen, and it's coming. So,
well, the really neat place of what we see from Adam and Eve right through, you know, how the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, the Jordan River, went through Europe and come to America and become, you know, brought Judah and Israel back together. You know, that's the hand of God, and that's just to me, it's just a really neat thing that God's hand in all of this. And then I'm very expendable. You know, my life is going to be not very long. I mean, there's more gone than it's coming. But my thing of it is, it's just exciting when you can see that picture of the sovereignty of God's hand in this thing. And it's in it right now, too. And, you know, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, and Joe Biden, my servant. These are his servants. Because he's got to make it so silly that anybody can see it. You know, it's just like the prodigal son. Let's go back to our God and we'll have those blessings instead of these curses. And that's the exciting part of what we see. And then we have to, it's really fun to convey it to somebody when somebody grasps it. I remember talking to, I think he was a Mennonite community, and he used to come to the food shows, and he was really, you know, into the Bible. He always loved talking about it like that. And then I explained to him Genesis, well, the two creations. And you could hear him through that whole thing. He just was so excited. He said, that's it, that's it, that's it. He just put it together for him. it was really neat. But see, you gotta ask questions or you're wasting your time.
Well, God sends them your way for a reason, you know. don't turn them away. That's sad when you do that. So,
but even that placemat I give it to people makes no sense to people. You know, they don't want that. It's just a placemat to them. I've given it to people, and it just don't make no sense. But exciting to us. It's really exciting. It's the gospel, it's the good news, and it's never going away. I mean, it's going to take a beating. Look at old Jeremiah, he got thrown in that pit, and, you know, all these people paid a high price to write that Bible, you know, and they stood on the word and they were hated. You know, it's just part of the deal.
Guys, let's...
yeah, you read me.
Paul, let's see if we can get a call. Oh, guess not. Saw it ringing.
Well, we've only got a few more minutes left here. We got any closing comments, men?
Well, we need to recognize us as men, and if we're in this group and we're baptized, and you read Ephesians 6, that we are soldiers, and soldiers are supposed to be doing things. They're supposed to be following the command and living their lives a certain way. And soldiers are supposed to be an offensive tool in the hand of God. And I think we need to think of ourselves that way. And, you know, I mean, every little thing that, you know, every person has their own specialty. So I was talking with this guy, and he was explaining, or he was telling me, like, there's no more important part in any type of system, whether it be business, ministry, in a military thing. They all work together. And, you know, if you're doing a military operation, the guy that's jumping out of the airplane is just as important as the guy that's feeling the airplane before it took off. And the whole system couldn't work unless everybody did their job. And we need to have that mentality that we are a team and a system. And when we really wrap our heads around that idea, even our minds will be blown at the effectiveness that we and the potential that we have. And only time would be able to tell us and reveal the level and the heights that we can reach as a group of people.
Well, so you take David, that sheepherd, or he come out of that sheepherd, which had to be one of the most boring jobs in the world, and he's killed that giant, you know, and that's what one person can do under the right conditions.
For a group of them like that, together, that's what we're trying to do.
Amen. Tim, closing comment?
Well, I just think that we're told fear not, and we just need to stay faithful to the miraculous and divine nature of our God. I think that, look for those miracles every day. They're there, and I think that's a source of power for us, too, that we sometimes let slide by. You know, want to be encouraged? Find your blessings. Find your miracles. They're provided to us every day, and we're just not always on the lookout for them or always aware. And I think that when you raise that awareness, you raise your power points. I mean, because it increases your faith, and it increases your output and your drive and your determination. And I think that, you know, when you don't understand, it doesn't mean God's wrong. It means you are. Get it figured out. So that's kind of my thought.
It's a good one.
Well, thank you, men, for being here. And I just want to close out with, you know, stay positive. Be, I think, I agree, like what you were saying, Zach, we want to put a group of those Davids together. And that's the way we need to have that victorious attitude in that, and not what, you know, our enemies would like to put us in a place where we are already defeated. You know, be strong and courageous, and we just need to continue to remember that. You remember that no matter what we see going on around us, no matter what these wars and rumors of wars are, that we stay positive, and we know that God's got us right where he wants us. You know, he's our God, and we're his people, and he will deliver us. We are those people that he's going to put that hedge of protection around and seal them off. And I believe that's talked about in Ezekiel 37 or 38. But, you know, it's when you've got the stolen identity, you can't understand that. And he's got us just right where he wants us, and in the right time. So we need to, you know, just be patient, trust him, have faith, and think victoriously.
If God be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. God bless. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Stay kind.
Ha! Ha! Keep rolling. this country stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them.